Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today, we have a returning guest, Harley Schlanger. Harley is an historian, a national spokesman. He's been covering the financial industry since the 80s. You can now find Harley at the LaRouche Organization. I'll be putting all the links at the bottom of the video. And I am very happy to have Harley back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Harley, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Well, I have to say, I'm very happy to be back with you, Dave. I always enjoy our discussions.
So do I. And we see a lot of things happening right now. It feels like everything that Biden touches completely falls apart. And we're not just seeing supply chain issues here in the United States. We're seeing them around the world. And I wanted to get your take on this because I think Biden, he was out there telling everyone, well, the Christmas is not going to be the same or what we're used to. We're going to see things where we can't get certain items. Now, do you think this is just made up? Do you think this is just happening naturally? And because of the pandemic, we can't get the products we need? Or is this more of a man-made type of thing where they're trying to bring us to someplace else, maybe like the Great Reset?
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, look, whether you look at energy, I mean, are we running out of coal and oil? Why are the prices going up? If you look at the cutoff of loans to energy production companies, businesses, you know, what does that have to do with sound banking? You know, the idea that the pandemic is the cause of this, it became the handy excuse for virtually everything, including imposition of tougher police state measures. But what we're seeing is a systemic breakdown. And you and I have been talking about this for a number of years, that while you're looking at things in the political arena and the various narratives that are being pumped out, what you're missing is the actual reality of the breakdown of a physical economic system. And that's the reason they're going for the Great Reset, because they're deliberately breaking down that physical economic system. That's what the Green New Deal is about. They intend to do that, the people who are doing it, that is. You know, what Biden's role in this, I mean, he seems to be more of a placeholder than anything else. This has been underway for a long time. But the most immediate sharp point that people have to think about is why Klaus Schwab, in his book Stakeholder Capitalism, wrote that the biggest problem facing mankind is our desire to have a good quality life. And this was the same theme as the mouthpiece for the City of London, The Economist, in their lead story last week, where they said that the cost of everything is going to go up, the scarcities will continue, get used to it. So, you know, while I hesitate to say it's some grand conspiracy, there are players in this who have power to manipulate markets and control things, who have been doing precisely that at an accelerating rate, and that rate is accelerating precisely as the rate of collapse of the real economy is accelerating.
The fuel prices that are going up, we're seeing shortages of coal, we're seeing shortages of oil throughout Europe and in China. I mean, is this to bring us away from fossil fuels? Is that why they're bringing the prices up and bring us into like solar energy, wind energy?
Yeah, because those kinds of energy are inefficient and too costly. You know, they complain about the costs and they say, you know, we're going to reduce the cost when we develop the technologies. The present technologies in wind and solar do not provide adequate electricity to power modern industrial nations. You know, I've been living in Germany. I've been watching this. My utility rates have gone up 14%. From January to September of this year. Wow. They're projecting it's going to have a double increase, another 14% by the end of the year. That's because they've shut down nuclear power in Germany for no good reason, you know, because of the tsunami that wrecked the plant in Fukushima. What does that have to do with Germany? No, Germany has no nuclear power plants on earthquake fault lines or on the ocean. It was a deliberate destruction of the most advanced economy in Europe. They're talking about exit from coal in Germany, originally 2035. Now they're talking about 2026. They're talking about shutting down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and cutting back on fossil fuel use. Now, when it gets cold here, you know what the Germans have to do? They have to buy electricity from Poland and the Czech Republic. that's made by coal and nuclear. So it makes no sense. If you were to draft a Rube Goldberg insane monstrosity to provide electricity, you'd come up with what they're doing in Germany and what they're trying to do in the United States. Now, is it haphazard? Is it stupidity? Well, it's stupidity that people go along with it, including people in industry, people in the utility companies. They think there's no alternative. And it is designed also, these shortages and the price hikes, to demoralize the population to think, well, we have no choice but to cut back. The fact is, it's all manipulated and manufactured. On the energy question, a deal was made by the major banks, organized by Mark Carney, the former head of the Bank of England, who's now the Green Czar of the United Nations. He took John Kerry's place. Carney and Larry Fink of BlackRock, they put together this plan of 130 major banks that agreed they would stop lending to energy companies that use fossil fuels, coal, nuclear, anything with the so-called carbon footprint. Then they said they'll extend it beyond that to industry, such as the aluminum industry, the steel industry, the concrete industry. How the hell are we going to have any construction if you shut down every industry that has a so-called carbon footprint? And why would you do that when there's no scientific evidence that the temperature changes have anything to do with carbon dioxide? So they've run a scientific scam, a fakery of the highest order, and connected that to a credit policy, which is part why the Green New Deal and the Great Reset are joined at the hip, because this is part of what Schwab and Prince Charles and others have been building towards, reducing the world's population using so-called environmental concerns as the cause.
Well, do you think this is going to backfire on them? Because as people suffer, and like you said, fuel costs are, you know, they're going through the roof here. As we move into winter and people are suffering because they can't pay to heat their homes, they don't, you know, have heat, they're suffering, they can't get food, they can't get supplies. Isn't this going to backfire on them? Because aren't the people going to rise up and say, you know what? We can't do this anymore. What's going on here? Who's accountable for all of this? Who do we blame?
Well, it's already causing a global reaction. I mean, it's interesting. Putin had an energy summit over the last couple of days, and he mocked the European Union's green policy. And he said, look, Russia's not causing your high prices. Your incompetence is causing the higher prices. And then they showed a German government film about how to stay warm when there's no electricity by putting candles in a flower pot and sitting around the flower pot. Now, you know, in Germany, a new poll came out last week. Over 50% said they want to reopen the nuclear power plants. You know, people aren't dumb when you are told that, right, you know, to heat your home, you have to sit around a flower pot with a candle in it. And that's a government report. You know, it's going to cause a reaction. Now, it's also causing a big reaction in the developing sector, because the Glasgow COP26 summit starts November 1st. Boris Johnson is going crazy to push it. Macron's in on it. Of course, Biden's in on it. And they're trying to establish these carbon levels that are impossible without shutting down economies. And so when John Kerry went to ask the Indian government to participate in this, the Indian said, well, if you want to do that, that's fine, but we believe that we need more development. The Chinese said, okay, we'll go along with it, but we're going to increase the amount of coal we're burning. Putin said, if Europe runs out of coal and nuclear, I guess they can always come to Siberia and buy our wood. So there is a reaction. And the problem is that there's so many other competing insanities that people are focusing on, including all the polarizing stuff around gender, around race in the United States, that people are getting emotionally worked up and angry and potentially mobilizable, but too often around these polarizing smaller identity politics issues. and missing the fact that the whole basis of our civilization, our industrial production, our scientific and technological capabilities are being dismantled.
You know, it's very interesting. I remember back in, I think it was June 2020, Klaus Schwab said, you know, as the pandemic was just getting started, he said, this is the perfect time for a great reset. And
yes.
What's very interesting is that Jen Psaki just came out, she was doing a press conference, and she said, this is the perfect time to change the economy fundamentally. It seems like they're saying the same exact things. It's like they're on the same page. And it seems like it's the signal, the message to move forward with the plan to bring us into the Great Reset.
I would say they're right about this is the time for a change. They're just wrong on the kind of change.
I agree with you.
This is where we've got to go back to the American system. You know, let me just give you one other of the insights I've been working on to try and get a better picture of this. There are new documents that were just released by the New York Fed on the repo loans that began back in September 2019. And of course, this is before the pandemic. And we were told that, well, corporations are strapped, they've got a lot of bad debt they've got to cover. And so the Fed decided to increase the amount of money they were making available at no interest to banks, so banks could lend the money to the zombie corporations that aren't making enough money to pay the interest on their debts. All of that's true. There was an element of that. However, the huge overnight loans were mostly going to Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, and foreign banks. And it looks as though this was to stem the possibility of a derivatives trading blowout that was going on at the time. And just a couple of examples. We know the story of Deutsche Bank, the German bank, mm-hmm. that lost 90% of its value, stock value, from April to September. They were able to borrow $1.5 billion from the New York Fed on September 17th, 2019. Another $9 billion on September 25th, and another $3 billion on September 27th. Now, why is the Federal Reserve extending so much money on short-term basis to Deutsche Bank? Then in March 2020, there was over $9 trillion, or by March 2020, so from September 2019 to March 2020, $9 trillion went out in repo loans. Just another example, and this is all on September 27th. Goldman Sachs got $29 billion on a 14-day loan. Nomura Bank, $30 billion on a 14-day loan. Nomura is a Japanese bank. Mm-hmm. September 27th, JP Morgan Securities, $20 billion on a 14-day loan. Then on September 30th, they borrowed another $8 billion. Now, here's the anomaly that tells you there's something bigger going on in the system. JP Morgan claims to have $1.6 trillion in deposits. So why do they have to borrow $7.6 billion from the New York Fed on the first day of the expanded repo loans? So this doesn't add up. And what was clear is that the Great Reset is related to this collapsing financial architecture. And we see one other element of this in the inability of the Federal Reserve to do its minimum job, where you have a Federal Reserve bank president in Boston and one in Dallas having to resign because they're engaged in wild trading with money from, in the case of the Boston Fed, it's believed that his money was coming from Citibank and that the Dallas Fed was gambling with money from Goldman Sachs. So you look at this and you see we have a giant casino that's about to collapse. And so what does Klaus Schwab come forward and say? Now is the time to make a transition. And the transition is to a global central bank dictatorship. That's what the Great Reset is. And it's to cover the fact that we've had a shutdown of the physical economy that's being increased to the extent the Green New Deal is being imposed. I mean, I was listening to BBC today, and they had story after story about how the increased energy costs have nothing to do with the Green New Deal. It has everything to do with the Green New Deal. You stop making loans to oil and gas producers, and the price is going to go up. The cost is going to go up. So they're pushing fraudulent narratives to justify a killer transition.
It seems like they're trying to put everything into place for this move. Like Yellen, she was telling Congress, you know, we need to monitor everyone's transactions, $600 or more, if you're taking it in or you're spending it, because we need to find tax evaders, billionaires who are defrauding the government. Now, to everyday people who are making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, this doesn't make any sense, because why? What does this have to do with them, and why such a small amount? I mean, what do you think she, why do you think she came out and she said this, and she's still backing it up, still pushing it?
It's funny. My wife won't let me see what she's spending money on, and now the Federal Reserve is going to know. There's no reason the Fed needs to know. If you're looking for money laundering operations or criminal operations, $600 is not the level you start with. But what Yellen is presiding over a transformation of the Fed into a policing agency. They're, besides this policing your bank account, they're going to be setting up a unit in conjunction with the Pentagon to see who's lending money to industries and businesses that have a carbon footprint. That is, Yellen is going to have a green police faction or grouping within the Treasury Department. Jerome Powell announced that the Fed would do the same thing to make sure that money is not being surreptitiously transferred to companies doing such dangerous things as funding oil and gas exploration. And now you have this 30-something page Pentagon report that Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, released the other day, saying that the military is now going to team up with the Fed and the Treasury to crack down on carbon polluters, because the climate crisis is the most dangerous thing facing the United States today, and the U.S. military has a role to play. You want to talk about craziness?
I mean, it reminds me of the petrodollar, when the military was used to control the different countries of them selling oil for and using the U.S. dollar. So here we are with carbon now, and those companies that are producing oil or anything else, they're going to shut them down. They're gonna stop them. I mean, look what they did with the petrodollar, with when we came into oil and we switched from gold to oil. Anyone that was trying to purchase the oil not using the dollar, they shut them down. Now it seems like they're doing the same thing with the carbon police.
Well, and
with
the Great Reset, the same people.
Yeah, I mean, same people.
The 1973 energy crisis was manufactured by Henry Kissinger. James Schlesinger was the energy secretary under Carter when we had the second energy crisis, which was those two periods, 73 to 78, was when the petrodollar became the hegemonic financial instrument. And then when countries finally figured out how they could use the petrodollar for leverage to change the international system, countries like Iraq under Saddam Hussein or Libya under Gaddafi, we have regime change wars to get rid of them on completely hoped up pretenses. So, you know, what we're seeing is when I say the systemic collapse, this is something Lyndon LaRouche had been warning about for years, going back to when the dollar was taken off the gold reserve system in 1971. And what we've seen is increasingly funds that are made available in incredible volumes of liquidity to speculators, but choking off credit to producers. And the effect of this is seen in the supply chain crisis, the inability to get computer chips, the inability to move shipping. You know, it's the consequences of this, it's not planned every step by step. It's the overall systemic collapse which causes all these other things to occur. And so you get these congressmen jumping up and bloviating about how they're going to deal with the computer chip shortage problem. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're talking about. They can't even come up with a budget. So, you know, we're partly suffering from the effects of 50 years of neoliberal free market globalization. And this is the attack on the sovereignty of nations – And there is a reaction against this. We saw it with the Trump election in 2016. I mean, maybe a lot of people didn't know that sovereignty was one of the leading issues, but it definitely was. And the idea that, Trump was going to stop these free trade looting of the United States, the outsourcing of our jobs, the taking advantage of our country by the corporations, not by China or Thailand or the Dominican Republic, but by the corporate cartels. And then you have a reaction now throughout Europe to this. Really interesting, Dave, I don't know if you saw this, but in Poland this week, the Polish Supreme Court ruled that Polish law takes precedence over European Union law, the law of the European Court. And this has to do with some of the transgender questions and the EU trying to enforce a standard code when it comes to gender politics. And the Polish Supreme Court ruled, no, Polish law is not going to be thrown out because of the European Union. Now, this is a challenge, this same kind of challenge that came from Brexit. Will you have larger and larger supranational governments telling nations what they can and can't do? And so I think it's part of the reason I wanted to discuss this question of the false shortages, the Great Reset, the Green New Deal, and so on, is that the bigger issue here is we're still fighting the issue that was the unresolved issue from 2016, which is taking back the country from these corporate cartels. And many people confuse the government and the corporate cartels. Our government is basically an impotent tool in the hands of these corporate cartels right now. But the government and the function of government is to protect the population. It's to protect, in the United States, the American people and American business. In Germany, it's the same thing, to protect the German people and German business. Same thing in China. But when you have the demands of the Schwabs and the Mark Carneys and the Michael Bloomberg and others who say, no, we must have this globalized system with a central authority over and above nation states, nations are going to rebel. And if the governments don't rebel, then those governments are going to be brought down.
I think what people are seeing now is, I know you say, you know, governments and the corporate cartel, they're separate. I'm starting to see people saying, you know, it feels like they're one and the same, where, you know, the government is taking orders by, you know, from the corporate cartel. The government is also working with the corporate cartel to push certain things. And it seems like they're working hand in hand. It's like it's a fascist country.
It's exactly what it is, Dave. Yeah. The definition of fascism initially was corporatism, which is when corporations and government do everything hand in hand, where the idea of institutions of self-government that people elect no longer have any control. And, you know, you can see this. You try and talk to a congressman right now, unless you're giving them $1 million from campaign contributions, they're not going to listen. They're listening to the Wall Street and to the big pharma and the insurance industry and so on, and not to their constituents. And they can get away with it because the media is another one of these cartels. It's interesting because one of the other things I've been looking at is the period of the 1920s and the corporate trusts between the United States, England, or Great Britain, and Germany. They were the ones who brought in Mussolini in Italy and Hitler in Germany, with key roles being played by New York financiers such as Roland Harriman and Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush. Mm. They were loaning money to ThyssenKrupp, which was funding Hitler. Montague Norman, the head of the Bank of England, was demanding that Hjalmar Schacht become the Minister of Finance in Germany. And Schacht was the one who came up with the concentration camp policy for Krupp and Thyssen to get cheap labor. Not cheap labor, it was free labor. They worked people to death.
Right.
So corporate cartels are the essence of what fascism is. And when you see what's happening now in the United States, that's what it is. These corporations have, you know, they control so much. I mean, just in terms of the defense policy, the military-industrial complex, why are the generals turning out to be so rotten, so many of them? Well, they're looking to get their retirement positions on corporate boards.
I mean, do we? Is this the same model that the Nazis used back in World War II?
Well, it's the same basic idea, and this is something that, you know, LaRouche has taken a lot of flack over the years. He's passed away now. He's not with us, but he still takes flack for this. He identified the shift in 1971 as a Schachtian shift, that is, to place the interests of speculative corporations over and above the interest of the nation, the general welfare of a nation. And he said this is a form of fascism. And for that, he was called an anti-Semite, when in fact, what was he doing? He was fighting the Nazi policy. And they've tried to change history so people have no idea. They think the Nazi policy was based on German nationalism. And in Germany, if you consider yourself a nationalist, you're probably going to be called a fascist, because the way the education system goes is it inverts reality. So, you know, I think it's not the same as Hitler, but you look at the kinds of things that we've seen recently in a place like Portland, where you have so-called left and so-called right out fighting in the streets. That was what was going on in the battles in Berlin between communists and stormtroopers of the Nazis in the late 20s, early 30s. It's you create a breakdown of society, a polarization in which people think there's no way out. And the people who actually are speaking sensibly are the ones who are attacked as in the United States now, as right-wing nationalists, as white supremacists and so on.
No, they just call them domestic terrorists now. Anyone that speaks out now is just a domestic terrorist. But you know what's happening? I see across the globe where with the pandemic right now and with the vaccine passports, there are a lot more protests, a lot more people fighting against us, a lot more people saying enough is enough. And I'm seeing people starting to wake up to what's really going on. I mean, past the virus, past the actual vaccine, past everything, and especially with the economy falling apart and the supply chains and Biden bumbling his way through everything, people are really starting to wake up and starting to think a little bit more about what's really going on. I think when things really hit people personally and they experience it themselves, they experience like, hey, you know, one minute I was paying, you know, $20 for it to fill up my car. Now I'm paying $45 to fill up my car. Now I'm paying double for electric, double for gas, double for food. Something's going on here. Something's not right. So, and someone, you know, is responsible for this and someone needs to fix it. And I feel like more and more people are starting to wake up. More and more people are starting to realize what's going on, not just with the vaccine passport, with freedom, but with the economy. And what I'm hoping for as time goes on, the people start to come out of the woodwork and start, and, you know, the people that have been silent, they start to say, you know, something, enough's enough. We're not going to let this move any forward. Because if you really think about it, if you go back in time, the Great Reset was a conspiracy. I mean, if you mention the Great Reset going back in time, people say, oh, that's a conspiracy. What are you talking about, Great Reset? There's no such thing. Today, it's no longer a conspiracy. It's no longer, oh, you're just a crazy person just talking about nothing. People actually heard it. They know about it. They know, you know, where they want to bring us. They see the Green New Deal. They're starting to see all of this. There's no like cover story. I mean, normally you'd have a war, you know, you'd have destruction, you have death. I think with the pandemic, they wanted to keep the global economy shut down for a very long time and keep everyone at home. But all these things didn't work. So I feel like they're a little bit more exposed this time around, and people can see a lot more. And I'm hoping that people now continually fight back. I'm seeing it across the world. I don't know if you see the same thing as you're living out in Europe, but...
Oh, sure. Look, all you have to do is look at the yellow vest movement in France, merging with farmers, merging with truckers who can't afford gasoline. It's going on in Italy. I mean, look, we've talked for a while, you and I, about the fact that people were in a state of rebellion in 2016. That's the secret behind Brexit, the secret behind the Trump victory. People had enough of a stench in their nose about what Hillary Clinton wanted to do that they knew they needed something different. And they knew that Trump was different. Now, what people haven't yet come together around is a program. And I think it's important what you just said a few minutes ago, that all of these areas verge on a general recognition that we can't trust the people who are setting the policies, who are making the policies. And then the question comes up, well, who can you trust? And, you know, I think the next months are going to be crucial because, you know, if you look out at what's going to come up in 2022, the media is trying to make this an election between Trump and Biden. You know, is Trump coming back in 2024? Is Biden blowing it and the Democrats are going to lose? The problem is that I don't see enough qualified candidates yet who are coming with a real program. And what we have to do between now and the beginning of the 2022 is take this recognition of the systemic collapse and show people how the system should work, what does function, why you have to take the banking system back from the private bankers and the central bankers, why you need a national credit policy. And if you have that, then you can fund infrastructure. Otherwise, you're never going to fund infrastructure. Why we have to crack down on these speculators. You know, it's interesting, Dave, because people sometimes say that they think I'm too soft on China. But there's something going on in China right now, which is kind of interesting. What's happening around Evergrande? Mm. They're basically saying they're not going to bail out the speculators. Now, we should have done that here in 2008, 2009. Instead, we bailed them out. We bailed them out again in September 2019. We're continuing to bail them out. I think one issue that real patriots in the United States should rally around is the idea of a return to Glass-Steagall, which basically says we'll protect commercial banks, but not investment banks. If you're speculating and you lose, you take the loss. There'll be no bailout. And I think that's something that many, many people across this country would support. You probably remember in 2009, 2010, when you had the Tea Party growing mm-hmm. and the Occupy Wall Street, supposedly the right and the left. But what were they opposed to? They were both opposed to bailouts and Obamacare. We had an opportunity to pull people together, and it didn't work because the Obama fraud was too powerful to prevent that from happening. But this time around, if we do it right around a program, not just against something, but around a specific program about how to rebuild our national economy, our physical economy, I think the 2022 election could be a real turning point.
I think this time it is different because, I mean, look at the poll numbers with Biden. They're dropping on the border, Afghanistan, the economy. I mean, he's pretty much underwater. And if you look at the fake news, the credibility of the mainstream media has dropped like we've never seen before. And I think
below the level of support for Congress.
Yeah. And I think people are starting to realize that they've been lied to, because if they still believe that, oh yes, Biden is this incredible person, he's going to pull us out of the pandemic, he's going to make the economy right, and they really believe the fake news was telling us the truth, these numbers would be going way up. But actually the opposite is happening, and not just for one issue, for many, many issues. And people are turning away from Biden, from the fake news, saying this is not the answer. We need something completely different. And people are getting their news from other places. People are getting their information from other places. People are starting to think logically. People are starting to scratch their head and say, you know something? Something doesn't feel right. Something is wrong, and I feel it every day. I go to work, I'm getting paid, and my money is going nowhere. I mean, I'm spending a lot more money than I ever did before. We have, yeah, you know, thousands of people just, you know, marching across the border because it's completely open. That doesn't make sense to me. We have Yellen out there talking about tracking my sick, you know, anything over $600. I hear about a carbon credit card where they're going to give me carbon credits, and when I run out, I can't spend anymore. I mean, I think people are starting to realize what's really going on now, and I don't think they believe the people that are in the position, like Biden or even above that, like Yellen and the rest, I don't think they're, and Fauci and the rest, I think they're all looking at them saying, you know what? You guys are liars. You people are liars. We don't believe you anymore.
No, I think that's definitely the case. And the what I spend most of my time doing is trying to give people a sense that, number one, this is the result of a systemic collapse, which was brought on by 50 years of completely failed economic policies, whether it was intentional or not. I don't think they intended in 1971 to have this happen, but the people running things, on top of everything else, besides being evil, they're not very smart. They don't know how to run an economy. Mm. They know how to run it into the ground. Now, given that we're losing virtually everything that was built up after World War II as a nation, and not just in our nation, but in Western Europe as well, even in Eastern Europe, we're ripe for a change, a change of paradigm. And the one paradigm that has consistently worked is that of the American system. And so what we're fighting for at the LaRouche Organization is to give people an understanding of how the American system functions. It's not just a set of rules, because rules don't work. It's principles, principles about physical economy. And that this is what's not being taught. And just to add one final point to this, one of the problems we have is the as people are waking up, we're facing terrible censorship.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not a coincidence either. If you look at the Nazi model, you weren't allowed to say something after about the first 6 months of Hitler's time in office. Or you look at the Soviet system under Stalin. You know, when things are going bad and people start talking, they're doing everything possible to shut that down. And it's to credit to you and the handfuls of people like you who have found ways to get the truth out there in spite of this kind of top-down censorship.
Yeah, I think as more and more people find out and more people speak up, I mean, they're not just censoring people like me. They're censoring doctors, scientists. They're censoring many, many people now. I mean, it's not like going back to 2014 or 2015 where someone said, hey, you know, they took down my YouTube channel and now I can't say anything. I think everyday people now, if they say the wrong thing, they're starting to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm allowed to say this. You can't block me from saying something. I'm not, you know, violating terms of service. It's the truth. I'm actually pointing to facts, but you're still bringing my channel or my account down and you're not allowing me to say something, or they put a little label on there saying, here's the real information, don't listen to this person. But I think what's happening now, as just, I guess if you go back in time with book birding and everything like that, people always find a way. People always figure it out. People always say, you know something, I see what's going on here now. And I think we're at that phase where people are starting to realize that, especially here in the United States, that you really don't have the First Amendment. You really don't have freedom of speech because the corporations like Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, they're working with the government. The government is actually telling them who to shut down. And again,
well, Silicon Valley is an integral part and has been really from the beginning of the military-industrial complex. And it's now becoming more obvious. But if you go back to the beginning of the computers, there was an idea that this was going to be something that could liberate mankind. And yet, who was it? Who was funding it? It was DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Group. This, from the beginning, had an element of psychological warfare as its intention. And so, when someone like a Zuckerberg rises up in power, you know, it's obviously not because he's so bright and innovative. It's because he was selected.
Yeah.
And he was basically put in that position.
And I think the only way out of this is for people to wake up. And as to me, when I look at everything and the economy, the border, Afghanistan, and everything else, as they keep pushing, their agenda, I think people are waking up to it and people are starting to realize what's going on. And I think this is going to continue. And I think more and more people are going to ask questions, because I've noticed a lot of people now, especially when it hit the economy, when we saw fuel prices go up and inflation, people started to say something is not right now. Something just went wrong and something's off. And as time goes on and as things get worse and worse, like the supply chain issue, I think more and more people are going to wake up. And then you add all that together with border, with Afghanistan and everything else. I think people are starting to put or connect all the dots now, and they're starting to realize, something's not right here. And I think I kind of know what they're trying to do, but then they do start to do research and they start to look at what's really going on, and they stumble upon the Great Reset and they start to read about that and they start to realize, oh, you know what? This fits right into it. And I think we're starting to see that. And I'm hoping that enough people wake up and people stop it across the world. I mean, I see a lot of protests around the world about that have to do with the vaccine passports. I think this is going to spread into everything else.
Well, it's not just the vaccine issue, although that's been a big one in places like Italy and in France. But I think it's important for Americans to realize that there are countries that are not going to go along with the Green New Deal. Mm-hmm. Many of the countries in that you wouldn't think of, like African countries, like India, Malaysia, Australia's prime minister is not going to go to the COP26 conference because he's angry at what they're telling Australia about coal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of resistance to it. And if we actually map out the resistance and on the Green New Deal and the Great Reset, because what's the Great Reset? It's essentially applying what the International Monetary Fund has done to the poorer countries around the world. They're now going to apply that to the so-called advanced countries. What we're seeing in the debates going on in the Congress right now is a pretaste of what's going to come when they say you can't spend any more money on anything except new wars and police state measures. Yeah. Because that's what's coming down the road. And so I think the more people become aware of that, and that it's an international issue, it's not just an American problem. We have a potential to really destroy this globalist force that's pretty much had its way for the last 50 years.
Hey, Harley, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. Once again, how can people see your work and get in touch with you?
Just send an email to me personally. I'll give you my personal email and I'll send you a link to my blog page and my daily video update. It's Harley, SCH, at gmail.com, HARLEYSCH at gmail.com. And I really enjoy hearing from your viewers and supporters, because you have let's just put it this way. Your viewers are already awake.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Hey, Harley, thank you very much for being on the Spotlight. I really appreciate it.
All right, Dave. Talk to you again soon.
Yes. Yeah.